The question was asked in this week's parsha. We see that Yaakov tells Yosef, I buried Rachel by Kever Rachel for a certain reason. In the long run, the Jewish people need to pass by her grave, and if she's buried there, they will pass by her grave, and then that will arouse heaven's mercy upon them as they weep by her grave, and she represents certain traits in the Jewish people, and so that's very important for the Jewish people. And yet, a few weeks ago, we read that when Rachel spoke inappropriately on some level about Yaakov Avinu, and she said, give me those flowers that could help me be fertile, and you're so upset at me, you can sleep with him tonight. The way she spoke about Yaakov was a little bit less respectful than it should have been, the way she spoke about sleeping with him. She said to Leah, so you could sleep with him tonight. That wording was held against her, and that's why God said, if you treat sleeping with Yaakov so flippantly, then you will not be buried with him. And the eternal sleeping of a couple together, you will not have. So that measure certainly sounds like the reason Rachel was not buried with Yaakov was because of the way she spoke. Here in our parsha, it sounds like she was buried separately for the sake of the Jewish people. Yet in Parshat Vayetze, it sounds like she wasn't buried with Yaakov as a punishment for how she spoke. So there's an easy answer, which is not being buried with Yaakov didn't have to mean that she'd be buried so far off. But there's a different answer. And the different answer is based on a comment of Moshe Feinstein said in the book Drash Moshe on these parshiot. And it's a very important concept in our perspective on the world altogether. We ordinarily think that in order for A to happen, B has to happen. And in order for B to happen, C has to happen. There's an order we see in the world, and we believe one thing has to cause the other thing, and that's why things happen. So we believe that in order for Yosef to come out of prison, the butler had to make a mistake and then be thrown into the prison, and then Yosef will interpret his dreams, and then 2 years later, when Paro has his dream, the butler will tell him, 2 years ago I was in prison and Yosef interpreted my dream, and that's the sequence of matters. That's how we read the story. But that's a mistake. Rashi says, Achara devarima eile, says in the pasuk, Chateu mashkei melech mitzrayim vaofe la'adoniyem lemelech mitzrayim. The butler and baker made a mistake with their master, the king of Egypt, and they were thrown into the pit with Yosef. That's what the pasuk says. Says Rashi, all of Egypt was buzzing. Did you hear what that Hebrew slave did? He tried to make out with the master's wife, and he was caught in the last minute, and he was found in the marketplace naked, and she had his garment, and she said, look at what he tried to do to me. And now all of Egypt was talking about Yosef. Yosef's a tzaddik. He did everything right. And all of Egypt is saying, those filthy Hebrews, who would want a Hebrew slave in their house? We know they're white, and they're different than us, but who would want them in their house anyways? So everyone was talking bad about Yosef, right? And that's why, says Rashi, that's why Hashem made it that the butler and the baker made a mistake, so that all the newspapers would be buzzing about the butler and the baker. There'd be new gossip for people to talk about. You know how it works. You read today's news and you could barely find anyone who talks about yesterday's news because that's old news. Who cares? So now everyone's talking, did you hear the latest news? Paro was eating his bread and there was a rock in the bread. And boy, that baker, who knows what he has coming just because he didn't sift the flour well. And the butler on the same day brought Paro a cup of wine and you heard there was a fly in the wine or Paro's wine. And who knows what's going to happen with that butler now? Just for one fly, his whole life is at risk. All of Egypt was buzzing about the butler and the baker. Says Rashi, that's why. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein, what's Rashi telling me? I thought the reason why was so that Yosef could get out of prison. No, our rule is that if Hashem wanted Yosef to come out of prison, he could have come out of prison in a million different ways. Paro could have bumped into him. Paro could have said, I want a tour of the prisons. There could have been a million other ways Yosef could have come out of prison. When Hashem sets it up, on that moment the butler and the baker went to prison. There's a reason why on that moment it was important they should go to prison. And what would happen 2 years down the road is a totally different calculation, and Hashem doesn't need for things to happen today in order for them to happen tomorrow. Based on this concept, when they had the Oslo Accords, so first there were tremendous bombings and a lot of blood and lives were lost, and then there was a period of quiet. I don't know if you guys remember this. There was a period of quiet when the Arabs thought they would benefit from it. And when Netanyahu said, I will not continue the Accords without a period of peace and quiet, there's nothing to talk about. We had years of quiet that people don't want to talk about, because you can't ignore all the bloodshed that came before. And as Rabin used to call them, and Peres, they called them the sacrifices of peace. I don't know what those words mean, but the sacrifices of peace. You had bombs exploding in Ben Yehuda and on buses, and people being murdered on a daily basis. People were scared to walk in the streets. You had bombs exploding, and then you had a period of quiet. And everyone said, it's a terrible thing because all of this is a bad move. The Oslo Accords are terrible and we should never do them. And it's a terrible thing and it's only going to lead us to more concessions, which will ultimately cost more lives. And I said, there are two perspectives we should have. On a political front, if you believe the Oslo Accords are wrong, you might be right. And then maybe you should fight them. And maybe on the political front, we shouldn't make concessions. On the halachic front, if you believe the Oslo Accords were against halacha, for sure you should fight them. But on a perspective of how God runs His world, you cannot look at the quiet that we're having these years and say it's a bad thing. Hashem doesn't have to make bloodshed in order for us to pull out of the Oslo Accords. You cannot look at a period of peace and say it's a bad thing because it'll mislead us down the road. You have to be smart and ensure you're not misled down the road. But you can't stand there and say, Rabbonu Shalom, it's terrible that we're having peace. It's terrible that there are no bombs blowing up. You might be right politically, hashkafically, halachically. You might be right on many fronts that we have to ensure that Oslo doesn't continue. That could be true. The facts have proven that it was true. Everything they promised, they didn't keep. And we've had more bloodshed. And even the UN declaration of statehood is against the Oslo Accords. There hasn't been, I don't think, a single clause in the Oslo Accords that they kept. But that doesn't mean that the years of peace were bad. We have to be smart. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that that's what Chazal came to teach us when they said, if the butler and baker went to prison today, that means there was a reason they had to be in prison today. What would happen 2 years down the road, God has His way of taking care of that. He didn't need them to be in prison today in order for Yosef to get out of prison 2 years down the road. So that's why our sages came and said, why did they have to go to prison that day? And so they gave a reason for that day. Coming back to your question. If the Jewish people needed to pray by Rachel's tomb, they could have traveled that way. There could have been other ways we would have prayed by Rachel. We don't look at it as well, A had to happen, so B had to happen, so C had to happen. We say every aspect has to be fair. The idea of Hatzul Tamim Paolo that we discussed from Avchaim Shmulevitz, the story of the bandit who was so wanted, and the king put out a ransom, and then finally they caught him, and then they gathered all the people together, and they said, we finally caught the guy who wreaked such havoc on our country. Is there anyone that could say something good or reason why we shouldn't hang him? Everyone's silent. And a little kid steps forward, and he says, I do, mister. So the king says, what do you have to say? And the kid says, I understand everyone here has reasons why this man has to hang. Everyone here has reasons why this man has done some things that are wrong and he has to hang. But you know what? I didn't do anything wrong. The king says, you're right. No one said you did anything wrong. The king says, that's right. The kid says, that's right. I didn't do anything wrong. And that's my father. Why do I deserve to be an orphan? Why do I deserve to be an orphan? What did I do to deserve that? So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said, in the system of man, you can't answer the kid. You have to say, well, there are casualties. I have to dole out justice. I can't factor that. But God is not limited. When Moshe Rabbeinu praises Hashem and says, Atzul Tamim Paolo, that means there are no innocent bystanders. That means that in Hashem's factoring of things, if there's a certain amount of pain that befell someone because A or B or C happened, that was also supposed to happen. Even that little bit of pain as well. And so that's why if Rachel isn't buried by Yaakov, it's not just so that the Jewish people would pray. There's an element that her soul is not pleased that she's not buried next to Yaakov. So yes, there's an element where it's important, it's a good thing for the Jewish people, but why did she have to undergo that? It says in the laws of marriage that a wife has a right to be buried next to her husband. A husband can't say, I want to be buried next to my parents. I don't want to be next to her. I fought with her my whole life. I have to fight in the grave. Go be buried by your parents. He can't say that. There's a right. A wife has a right. There's a certain importance. Fine. But I'm just saying, so Rashi or the Midrash are addressing different aspects and they have to be addressed. We don't view it as, well, she had to be there for the Jewish people to pass by so she couldn't be by Yaakov. No. Those are two different aspects of her being buried separately.